This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Sacrificial Poets are taking their show on the road, the Long and Winding Road. The Performance Poetry Organization regularly performs and poetry slams in the Triangle and staged a spoken words event in this area and all over the country. But later this month, two of its members, Will McInerney and Kane Smigo, are headed to Egypt and Tunisia to investigate the revolutionary movements and create poetry performances, all of that based on interviews and other reporting. The project is a dream come true for Will and Kane, who hope to provide a glimpse into the lives of the Egyptian and Tunisian people on their journey towards self-determination, and to come home energized and ready to transform their own communities in North Carolina. Will McInerney and Kane Smigo join me in the studio now to tell us more about their travels. Welcome back to the program, guys. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having us on.
We should probably back up a little bit and talk about the Sacrificial Poets. Tell us about the Sacrificial Poets, how they got started, what you do.
So in 2006, myself and one of the other directors, CJ Suit, were on a youth team at a Chapel Hill that went to Brave New Voices, which is the International Youth Poetry Slam. It was in New York City that year. And when we came back, we were both 19, and then we turned 20, so we were no longer eligible to compete as youth for the next year. And CJ had talked about he wanted to start organizing youth and be mentors. And it was not till 2008 that we got enough money and got organized enough and had our own venue that we're doing regular events that we really were able to take a team. And Will was on that first team and then later became the associate director and one of our, you know, main leaders in the movement. So 2008, we took our first team to Brave New Voices as coaches, and since then we've been running regular open mic events and poetry slams every month, and we teach workshops on writing and performance in high schools, community centers, other nonprofits.
So you've got outreach work that you do here in the area, you perform in the area, and you compete, and you do pretty well in your competitions. How did you do recently?
Well, the Sacrificial Poets, as a youth team, we have finished as semifinalists at the last two Brave New Voices. And a lot of the members from Sacrificial Poets, including myself and Will, tried out for the adult national team out of Durham called the Bull City Slam Team. And this past year, me, Will, and G. Yamazawa, who was also on it, who was originally a Sacrificial Poet, we won the Southern Regionals. And we finished third at the National Poetry Slam on the Bull City Slam team. So
that's pretty good. Tell us about then the Sacrificial Poets. I mean, what's behind it? Is it just about performance? Is it about competition? I mean, there's something deeper, I think, behind Sacrificial Poets.
Yeah, what really drew me to Sacrificial Poets was the combination of kind of art and activism. And that's kind of where my background is, more traditionally in activism. And so this fusion that Sacrificial Poets does is like using youth empowerment, using like letting youth have a voice and using it for social justice, using it to help better our communities, both locally, nationally, and internationally, which is kind of where we're going with this project right now. I think what makes Sacrificial Poets stands out, and I think what makes the North Carolina poetry scene kind of stand out in a way, is it has that dynamic to it. It's not just art for art's sake.
Where did the idea about going to Egypt and Tunisia come from?
That's actually pretty complicated. Mm-hmm. Kane and I were just talking about that. There's a lot of influences going on. Mm-hmm. I think obviously the first influence is Sacrificial Poets. This is what the work we've been doing. Kane's been doing this since 2006. I hopped on in 2008. And in addition to that, Kane and I are both passionate about the Middle East. We've been taking Arabic language classes at UNC. I've been studying Middle East politics and culture for the past couple of years. I was fortunate enough to travel to the Middle East the past 2 years in Israel, Palestine, and Jordan, and doing poetry work along the way, teaching at the Ramallah Friends School. And so I think a lot of influences coming together, the people in our lives, like Kane mentioned CJ Suit, G. Yamazawa, Jake Jacoby, a dear friend of ours, Anuru Dulapala, who moved down to Emory and who's been a critical influence in this period as well, as kind of all coalesced together to create this project.
All members of your group, the people mm-hmm. you just named. So yeah, this is a political movement that we're seeing in Northern Africa and in the Middle East. What's poetry got to do with it?
So I guess the first answer is that we want to go there, and we definitely want to explore the issues, but we want to explore the issues in terms of politics as they relate to the everyday people and the human condition. We really want to focus on the human condition. So what we do here with poetry on the adult and the youth level is try to provide a platform for people's stories to be heard, to gain a better understanding of people's experiences. And so we want to go there and use our art form, which is an ancient art form of oral poetry, oral history, to do interviews and use it to spread the stories of the average, what it's like to be an average Egyptian living through these popular movements. How are they organizing? And we're hoping that, you know, not only as an artistic tool and a lens that is, you know, kind of an alternative to just the journalist lens, you know, because we're not journalists and we don't pretend to be journalists. We're artists and we're poets. And so we want to go there and cover these stories, but we also want to cover the emotion behind them and the experience behind them, not just the facts.
As you said, you've taken a few trips to the Middle East. You are interested in the politics of the region. What do you know? What do you know about the cultural influences of Arabic culture that had any that play or what part they might have played in the current revolutions?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And another kind of going along with the last question is like, why poetry? And I think poetry and Arabic culture are kind of one and the same. Mm-hmm. It's a very fundamentally rooted culture in art, in expression, in poetry. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why going to North Africa and using the specific artistic lens that Kane was talking about is why we chose this area. And I think using art, finding those expressions, finding the emotions, like a revolution and uprising is a very emotional process. You know, like Kane was saying, there's a full spectrum of voices over there. Mm-hmm. And kind of through journalism, we see a specific narrow lens, and we get that lens well, and we get the facts, and we understand, and that's very necessary in society, but there's also a lot more going on. And a revolution is a very complicated thing, and I think that's where art can come in. That's where we can understand a fuller picture of the spectrum of voices.
How do you see it going? Once you're there, you're on the ground, you've got some recording equipment, what's going to happen?
So we are partnering with local organizations to start off because we don't want to get there and just be blindly walking around the streets looking for people to interview. So we'll be starting off by interviewing the people that are involved in these organizations, whether they be youth organizations or organizations that helped set up protests or work with social media. We want to interview them and ask them what their experience has been like. And then our plan is to, from there, once we kind of get settled in, to hit the streets, so to speak, and to reach out to people that we meet along the way, either through those contacts or people that we meet, you know, just from being out and around. So we want to start out with our base, the people that we've already, you know, been in contact with, and then from there just try to talk to as many different types of people as we can.
So we're going to be checking in with you periodically and getting updates. What kind of things do you expect to hear? Will they just be interviews? Do we can we expect some performances, examples of some of the art that may be behind this movement?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination. Like, a lot of what we're doing is collecting oral histories from the spectrum of voices. But in addition to that, we're looking for art. We're going to be creating art. We're going to be looking out for Egyptian and Tunisian artists themselves and trying to bring those voices back. So I think it's going to be a combination of the spoken word and the art.
Yeah, I hope to find some Tunisian and Egyptian poets and incorporate their poetry as well.
Now, what do you know already? Have you made contacts? And give us an idea of the kind of contacts you've already made.
Yeah.
So we've been working a lot in the past 2 months getting a list and trying to prepare as much as possible. As Kane was saying, like, we want to have target groups that we're working with and from there branch out. We've been working with a lot of universities, the American University of Cairo, Cairo University. We're going to be working with the Mahdi Institute, the Haddad Institute. We're going to be kind of branching out from there and also working with local artists. We're going to be working with some musical producers, some groups of poets. We're going to be working with painters, traditional art, and kind of like trying to find the connections between them and their circle of relationships, which we can build upon.
And what are you going to do when you get back? You'll have a lot of material.
Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of different things we're going to do. In addition to radio segments, we're going to be creating a documentary with Samir Abdulkhalik and Mohamed Musa, are the two other members of the project. Mohamed is our translator, and he's also a poet. And Samir is our photographer and videographer. So he's going to be taking pictures and video, and we'll be using the video to make a documentary. The pictures will be coupled with the poetry and the oral histories to create an installation at places like the Ackland Art Museum and hopefully at universities across the state and hopefully internationally. We'll also be creating a book that will have the photography, the interviews, and the poetry. And so there's a lot of different kind of products of this that we hope to put together, a work of theater as well.
What influence do you think what you learn there can have on your own activism?
I think a lot. You know, I think that one thing we want to be doing when we're talking to the organizers, especially the organizers there, is figuring out how did they connect with all these people? How did they find the similarities and interests and desires and needs, and how did they get people out into the street? This is something that we're practiced at as well. You know, we have to get people to come out to our events and get youth to mobilize and tell their stories. But I think that we can always learn from other solutions internationally that are being found to do the same things that we struggle with here.
Is there a connection with what's going on there and all of the deep questions of social and economic injustice that we face in this country?
Yeah, I think that there's a global trend. You know, there are things, there are similarities, but I think it's also equally important to see the distinction that Egypt is very different from Tunisia, which is very different from the movement in Wisconsin, which is very different from what's going on in Raleigh right now with the school board. And there are these similarities, and that's what we hope to go and to find and to learn from them, to learn from their successes, from their failures, and see where we can take those tools back to help influence our communities. But like you're saying, there's a trend, but there's also very distinct differences, and that's what we hope to find out.
We are looking forward to sharing what you find out as you go on your way coming up. Safe travels, guys. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Will McInerney and Kane Smigo are spoken word artists and part of the project called Poetic Portraits of a Revolution. For more information about their trip to Tunisia and Egypt, including how you can help, go to ppr2011.org. That's ppr2011.org. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.